Hello, hello. Welcome to B2B Craftworks, a podcast about business writing. I'm Sarah Greason-Mock, founder of the B2B Writing Institute. And I wanted to share a special interview based on freelancing with young kids underfoot. This is the most recent free webinar we put on. It happened earlier this week, and we had really insightful stuff from several freelancers who are doing the parent thing and doing their best. So I'm going to answer some of the questions that I put to them. And if you want to hear the whole thing or watch the whole thing, you can head to our website and just go to free events and you'll see it listed right there. Number one, what does your home life or family situation look like today? And what's that journey been like? It's really taken me a long time to be able to talk about this stuff freely and feel like I've actually learned from it and processed a lot of what happened. But now that I'm starting to get a sense of why this all happened and how to proceed from it, I can happily say I have two kids. One is 5, one is about 3.5, is going to turn 4 in the fall. My husband is a stay-at-home parent, and we got him home right before COVID became a thing. He was a public educator and he wanted to spend more time with our sons. And right before we were about to have infrequent childcare and everything parents have been dealing with COVID, he came home. So we got spared a lot of that. But there was a lot ahead of us. So don't worry that we got off easy with that. So right after he came home, I fell down the stairs and hurt my back. And so that's been a recovery process for the past 2 years or so of not being able to sit really comfortably, not being able to do a lot as much around the house as I definitely would like to do. And then 3 months after that, he broke his leg in all the way through in 2 places in a skateboarding accident. And so that threw us into this tunnel of recovery and survival mode and get a membership to everything that delivers within a 20-mile radius of our home. And I think the more I think about that, we're definitely still recovering. So it's taken 2 years to feel like we're not in a constant state of emergency. And that still probably describes 5 out of 7 of our days at home. And I'm going to own that because a big part of our story is that our sons are really high energy, really assertive. They know who they are and what they want. And my husband are both highly sensitive people. Introverts, artsy kind of people. We want quiet time and a clean home and all these things that are just not compatible with having 2 toddlers who have such strong opinions. So all the way over this time, we've had about 10 hours of childcare a week plus free gym care whenever we could, being safe with COVID and everything. And of course, we're right around the corner from full-time school starting in the fall, which is going to be new for us, very new for us. I mentioned in a previous podcast, we're thinking about my husband going back to work and doing some online teaching. So that could start in the fall and change things a little bit. But I think one of the things I love about us as a family, and that's going to come out as one of my lessons later, is just that we really flex to what we need. We approach things in seasons. And even if we get a little distracted and start to feel like we're stuck doing something, within a month or two, we figure out that we really have control over it. So if it's not working for him to be full-time childcare and for me to be the full-time breadwinner, we can change that and it doesn't have to mean anything negative. It's just something that we tried and can go back to. I also like to be really honest about what a struggle parenthood has been for me. So both of my kids were C-sections. The first one was an emergent one where we had done all of the planning you could do to have that dream-like natural birth. And right before we were a week over my due date and we had that last checkup and it didn't look like the baby was doing well. So my oldest son, it looked like he was not doing well. So we had to rush in and do that same day. And my adjustment was just really rough. So that whole C-section process was traumatic. My incision got infected. Recovery was difficult. Breastfeeding was difficult. Major postpartum depression that I can see now. But when you're going through it, it just seems like the lights turned off and everything was dark after that. At the time, I funded both my maternity leaves with freelancing and I got childcare. It's really fuzzy now, but I want to say maybe a month or two after birth, I would start to get 10 to 20 hours a week of childcare. We have a nanny who came to our home and I would pay hourly for that. And that just let me ease back onto the computer and into normal life. Neither of our kids were very successful with the sleeping thing, which haunts us to this day. So that's just been the theme for the past 5 or 6 years is, you know, how to make sure we're getting enough sleep and not losing my mind when I'm at home. And it's really clear now, I won't say this is healthy, but I use work as a coping mechanism for my postpartum depression. So we were in a great apartment building, and downstairs they just opened a co-working space. And the first day they opened, I was down there poking around, and I never left. I have not left since. That's where my office is now. But it felt so good to get space away from the kids because I was in this constant state of stimulation, frustration. Just my world was loud. Everything was touching me. I wasn't doing a good enough job at everything I was trying to do. So I really came to work as this place to turn all of that off in an unhealthy way and just focus on work. And it really, I think it got me through that time. I don't know what a better way could have been. I don't think it was healthy, but just if you are going through something like that, you just observe what's helping you get through it and if you want those to be your coping mechanisms or not. Next question. What does your business look like today? And what's the journey been like? Today, I run a freelance writing business for 80 to 90% of my income. B2B Writing Institute brings about 10%, though I'd really like it to be more 50-50 than 100% teaching in the next few years. But I, like I mentioned, I'm the breadwinner, so my husband doesn't bring in an income. And that really puts the pressure on to maintain a high volume of writing work and a high volume of writing clients. And so that can be very stressful. And at times, just the whole money thing can be stressful because if I fall under my savings goal, so I do profit first and I try to keep a certain amount in operating expenses, I don't always do that perfectly. So we do fall into these time periods where we're paycheck to paycheck. But I consider that much more of a personal failing than a freelancer failing. And it's something that I've been focused on working on for a long time. And my freelance journey, again, it's been stressful, but looking back, it's really cool because I never thought freelancing could be a thing for me. I grew up in a family of traditional careers, lots of military, lots of teachers, and I got laid off from my marketing role and decided to see if I could sell content and just do what that guy who had hired me was doing. And I found out that I could. And it was so hard to learn the sales part of things, to be comfortable accepting money from people, figuring all that out. But it turned out to be the most important skill for me to have to really have the autonomy over my life that I wanted to have. So I love giving that to people, especially introverts, especially women, especially working mothers, to show them that you're welcome in this space and you're actually quite needed in this space so that it's not overrun with bros. And I think that makes sense. I think it would surprise some people to hear that I really wouldn't blink to take an in-house role if it suited me or my family better at a given time. Because I think writers can realize a lot more of the value they bring in freelancing, hands down, 100%. But sometimes, and in some seasons of life, capturing the value you bring isn't the first priority. Maybe the first priority is not having to do marketing all the time or not having to jump from project to project or not being fairly solo throughout the time. Because when you freelance, you aren't really free. There's no sitting at the beach, drink in hand, just seeing cash roll in. That's not something I've ever experienced as a writer myself. And you also end up working business hours a lot of the time because your clients are working business hours. Your clients are taking holidays off. And so you're taking those days off too, and you're working on those days that they are. But for me in freelancing, the autonomy has really come from picking and choosing who I work with and what I work on. And being able to lean in when I want to lean in and lean back when I want to lean back. So I think there are a lot of overlaps between freelancing and in-house work that we don't take into account. For now and for the past 10 years, freelancing has been the way I prefer to work. As for the actual breakdown of clients, I've always loved being diversified over different client types. So I'd say I have about 30% regular one-on-one, like me and a brand clients, probably about half agency work where there's an agency of people who take on clients and then I help them with those projects that come up. And then the last 20%, I'm really investing a lot of time into the Institute and putting what I've learned into these courses and make it easier for people to ramp up with this. Next question. What about your business is better now that you're a parent? And what's worse? What is better is going to be prioritizing time and making the most of my time. But that's going to be a trick answer towards the end of this answer. Before I was a parent, I didn't know how to prioritize time. I would have told you that I did. And of course, I was really effective. I got a lot done. But post-parenthood, especially in those first few years of the frenzy, I could move mountains in 30-minute blocks. I was like a super concentrated version of myself in my brain. And some of that is good and some of that is bad. I think it really feeds into our productivity culture and made me look at time as this thing that needed to be spent in a good way instead of something to be cherished, which is what I'm working on now. But it was a really powerful upgrade at that time when I was so worried about making money and having an income to see that I could still have the income. In fact, I doubled my income coming out of my maternity leaves, both of them, because I just had that concentrated time and I was really throwing myself in there. That being said, the other side of the coin is, as Dr. Drew from Loveline always says, there's no free lunch in nature. The other side of that coin is that my relationship to work became really unhealthy because I just full-on used work to hide postpartum depression and to not address feeling like a failure as a mom because of the C-section, because of the breastfeeding, because I didn't love it right off the bat. All of that, I judged really hard and took it really personally. That's clear as day now. And I think if I had been a little more, I wonder if I could have been more gentle with myself, if I could have prevented some of that damage to my family and just all my relationships. But the good news is I'm really dissecting my attachment to work and productivity now. So especially with the help of the book 4,000 Weeks by Oliver Berkman, it's helped me get a little more sensitive about how I'm using my time to be productive and to do work, and how I'm not using my time to have a life and enjoy my life, find any pleasure any day. Because we can't be work machines. We can optimize to make our life better, but I don't think many of us do that anymore. I think we optimize to do more, and then we just do more, and then we do more, and then we crack. And that's a pattern we've all been participating in. So I am trying to break that for myself. And I'd always been interested in being a hard worker and getting things done and all of that stuff that goes with being a type A overachiever. But at postpartum, it's like it set in as an infection. And I started quantifying everything. I would never rest. I would always feel hurry. And I think there could have been a better way to deal with that. I think I could have used some coaching around real leisure and just enjoying things. Even when the big picture is uncomfortable and not pleasant, I think it would have been very possible to find small pockets of things to enjoy. And I don't think I did that as intentionally as I could have. But no judgment to past Sarah, because she brought two amazing kids into the world and she got a heck of a lot done. I just wish she'd been nicer to herself. Next question. Can you share a few of your go-to techniques for making parenting and freelancing work for you? What do you and your family do that could be considered surprising or new to other people? So the first one, I guess all of these probably came from my therapist or podcasts by moms that I listen to. But the first one is that to just don't assume it has to be a certain way. We bring so much programming into our families and our relationships without knowing it. It could be programming from your family, from television, from culture, from one example of one thing you saw when you were 14, we just have all of these things floating around in our head. And then when our life doesn't measure up to that, creates stress and tension. And it was beautiful. I was in therapy one day and I was talking about all the stresses we were experiencing with the kids at work and my husband's job. And my therapist said something to the effect of, you two don't strike me as a couple that does things in the box or the normal way or something like that. I think she was saying this in the context of when we got married, we combined names and made a new name for our family. And my husband is very involved with art and music and makes wonderful music. And of course, I went off and was freelancing at the time. So she was really just reminding me that these things I was taking for granted, like husband has to have a 9-to-5 job, we need benefits, all those sorts of things. It's fine how it is, but it doesn't have to be that way. And I think that got me started really thinking of what would it look like? What would we need to do to feel secure with you leaving your job and coming home and being with the kids? But while I was talking to her and while I was expressing that, my frantic energy was like, how do I make this work with only X amount of childcare because of the cost, with only X amount of sleep because of the kids, with only X amount of my husband's health because he's at work? How do I make the puzzle fit with these pieces? And she just pointed me to a box where you can draw your own pieces and make something fit. And they're really outside of the ethics of whatever you're doing. There's really no wrong way to be doing all of this. And the number two technique of three, so one is don't assume it has to be a certain way. Number two is just childcare, because I didn't really get this message until I was listening to a podcast called The Best of Both Worlds, which is with two career moms. But you don't know what your child needs until they're here. So if you plan on a peaceful baby who will let you work on your computer, you're going to feel stress, if not agony, when that doesn't work out twice. I speak from experience. So it took me so long to embrace and feel okay with and accept that I needed help in that way, because I judged myself for not having more family around to help. I judged myself for not having more unpaid help, like friends and stuff like that. But in reality, it's just little people need big people to walk around and make sure they aren't getting hurt. And often you're going to have to pay for that. A side benefit of that I think is interesting is that me having to pay for when I was working had the added benefit of putting this pressure on what I was charging and what I was doing with my time. So I really quickly felt that urgency to raise my rates to sustain what I'm doing and make it make sense. Because if I'm paying $20 an hour for childcare, it doesn't make sense to be a writer who charges $25 an hour or even 50 or even 100. So I started really prioritizing what work can I get closer to 150 to 250 per hour when I've completed it. And I would really lean into that. And I think that helped. And the final technique I'd offer, and this is all in hindsight, so I don't think I was this smart going through it. I was just unhappy. But just try to embrace the new things you're going to learn about yourself. Before I had kids, I really wasn't an angry person. I would have told you I was very much in control of my emotions and my anger. And that went all out the window after kids, because I would feel overwhelmed, overstimulated, no rest, no breaks, and be very angry. I'm still very angry regularly, but I have a lot more tools to cope with it now, and I take breaks and stuff. But you're probably going to find out new things about yourself, and it's just really nice to get to know this new person who's a parent now. There's going to be bad things, like what I learned about myself, but there's also going to be really cool, awesome things that give you a new perspective and a new depth on life. Next question. Are there any rules or quote-unquote parenting best practices that don't work for your family? Man, for me, this one would have to be the opposite of, are there any rules that do work? Because we basically broke all of the rules. Maybe I'd just say the overall picture, like the Seventh Heaven television show of what home life looks like, that whole thing didn't work for us. So like our house is neon mid-century minimalism, and we play spa music and lo-fi beats at home to help me calm down. We have sound machines in every room. I try to keep it tidy when it's not a complete. And we also really try to prioritize alone time. We trade off probably more than we spend time together right now, which I don't like saying out loud, but that's the reality of how we're surviving, is that every once in a while, we'll see who's getting most overwhelmed, and that person will just leave and go to a hotel for 24 hours. To not just sleep, that is the theme of like 80% of it, but it's also just to have a quiet, calm mind for a second. Because when our kids are this age, which I didn't really put it together, snap. Because when our kids are this age, which I'm hearing from parents who have older kids that we're like 6 months away from it being a lot better, but just the constant pecking and talking and needing, there's no way to turn that off. It makes you angry, or you accept it, or you go and have quiet time. It's the options that we have. And so we will more frequently over the past year, we would trade off like weekends or do one night or two nights away. Now, it hasn't been my turn for a while, unfortunately, because this is one thing you don't find out until you're the breadwinner. But your time at work away from the kids counts as your vacation, which I think is pretty unfair, but I get it. So at the height of everything feeling awful over the past year or so, it was just the sense of when I'm at home, high pressure, high noise, everyone's miserable. When I'm at work, high pressure, high noise, so much to do. And just that bouncing back and forth, it really showed me how much I was missing some space in between just to have leisure and read a book or enjoy myself in a way that wasn't optimized. I think a couple of years ago, I would have poked fun at this a little bit, but I think this is the new challenge for people who work in a digital space, who have professional jobs and careers and are trying to build this best life that can be built. We have to figure out how to take care of ourselves when there's so much stimulation and opportunity and choices. All right, last question. What else do you think would be helpful for a freelancer to know? They feel like they're failing at both parenting and business right now, or they can only make one work while the other suffers. I'm going to try my hand at being really thoughtful and monkish and say, suffering comes from the judgment that we're putting on the things. I think I see it more clearly now because I'm very familiar with that feeling of being miserable when I'm with my kids because I'm thinking about work, or miserable at work because I'm thinking about my kids. And the only thing that's the same about all of these situations is that it's me thinking, making whatever I'm doing suck more. And I guess there's something in me that just wants there to be no tension between the things that I have in my life, but that is not realistic. And again, the 4,000 Weeks by Oliver Berkman, just going to quote that for the next couple months. But you have to face the reality that your time is finite. Your options are finite. Your priorities should be finite. But in reality, we're picking so many priorities that we're just overwhelmed by really important, good things all the time. And so it's stressful to hear that it's in our hands to fix this. But that can also be really empowering because it's up to me when I'm with my kids. The thoughts about work aren't just going to see themselves out. That's not an option. That's not really what they do. I have to cut it off. I have to say goodbye to this good thing, which is work, which I love and which makes me feel wonderful when I think about it a lot of the time. In an addictive way, though, so that's probably not very good. But I have to sever that while I'm at home. And while I'm at work, I have to let go or say not now to that feeling of just wanting to be at home doing nothing with my kids. And maybe it's more about aligning my desire to what I'm doing. Because if I'm wanting to be with the kids when I'm at work and I'm wanting to be at work when I'm with the kids, I want to be with both of them. I've just switched up. I've got the wrong ones on at the right time. So if I can just be at home and turn on the switch where I want to be at home and then be at work and turn on the switch where I want to be at work, that's what alignment is going to look like. And that's what's going to make me feel good as I move through these important things that I'm doing. So it could be that the only reason we feel like we're failing at parenting and business, and that we can only make one work while the other suffers, is that we're suffering when we're working on one of them instead of both of them. But it's not possible to work on both of them. So we have to change what we think makes us suffer. I don't know. That's me trying to be a philosopher, which I was not born to do. But that is what I'm trying to remind myself of now whenever I'm at home and uncomfortable or at work and uncomfortable. So that's all for the interview and Q&A. If any of this excites you or makes you think about your situation a little better, just head to BDB Writing Institute, go to free events, and Freelancing with Kids Underfoot is right there. And we've got four other people talking through these questions. That's all for now. Thanks for listening.